The ant people responded by breaking their covenant and restarting engineering new hybrid species. This started a long war between the rebellious faction of star people creating reptilian hybrids and the elder ant people, which extended through different stages and levels, through the ages until this day. Through the multiple reptilian and insectoid hybrids created on both sides, too many to know them all, the numerous types of hybrids became hard to distinguish or classify, serving as genetic infiltrators. The Star Elders Council was of course well aware of the situation and after extensive negotiations, they banned the Ant People again and the Lizard People under the control of the rebellious Star People. They could not interrupt their harmful activities going on in the depths of the well-protected underworld. They could just continue to be watchers over the Earth and its spiritual and soul evolutionary process. The ones we refer to as the Lower Lords were Star Elders who fell to the selfish karmic power hunger. Their scientific and spiritual knowledge surpasses yours by far, but they have misused them to control. We call them Lower Lords for the lower astral levels they have produced in the depth of the underworld. At the end of the astral phase of creation of the self and individual consciousness, through emotional development, the Earth had experienced all possibilities contained within the whole astral spectrum. Chapter 31. Before we continue with our message, we must do a reality check. If you have followed our message this far, you are most likely part of those who recognize this information as resonating with the inner truth of their soul memory and genetic memories. The information we are transmitting to you is already encrypted in your DNA star seeds, as well in your ancient souls, allowing you to recover your forgotten memories and forsaken heritage. This is why our message finds resonance in your soul. But a greater number of your human people still sees our message as mere fantasy and fairy tales. They are not yet ready to reconnect with their ancient DNA starseed's genetic memory, or their souls cannot recognize realities they have not yet known or understood. This is easy to understand, knowing that the Lower Lords modified your genetics and have systematically erased every ancient teachings, and physical remains standing as proofs of your long spiritual evolution since the days your first ancestors. This long-term eradication of all traces of your ancient spiritual evolution, including the dharmic process of sacred soul incarnation practiced by your first ancestors, allowed younger, less evolved souls to incarnate among your human species. Their souls may have not lived in the dawn of your people, not being familiar with the ancient realities we describe to you, but they nevertheless incarnated to evolve through your species, carrying your DNA starseed's genetic memories, helping them in the process. The souls transmigrate through many forms and they evolve on the long term independently from the genetics of their incarnations. But the genetic memories they carry influence their individual karma. Every species, including your young human people, are made of several genetic interbreeding between species and hybrids over the course of eons, and each one of them provides physical bodies for souls to incarnate and continue their spiritual evolution process. The souls incarnating in any given species, unless they are consciously invited and welcomed before conception, may come from any dimensions. In the universal consciousness, although every entity is unevenly evolved in spiritual consciousness, they are all considered as equal souls, with the same infinite potential in the longer evolution process. Some of the souls may evolve and regress into lower levels of consciousness, in a lethargic amnesia, which eventually leads them into deeper oblivion and the dissolving of their individual self into the primordial churning sea and cosmic reservoir of souls, like drops blending with the ocean to be reborn. Other souls who consciously participate in the evolution process of their soul, grow into higher levels of consciousness and spiritual understanding, allowing their souls to incarnate consciously into ever more evolved incarnations and favorable circumstances, until they have no more need to reincarnate, reaching a level of awareness where they are consciously helping the collective soul to heal its karmas, after having cleared themselves from their karmic loads and debts, getting involved strictly in Dharma. Every soul is given opportunities to evolve all along its existence, offered bodies to reincarnate, which can be of different forms and in diverse species. For this reason, no species is evolved evenly. Every intelligent species, including your own, is part of a greater soul evolution long-term process. This makes every one of them important, with its own purpose, so none can be called out of the equation. No species have been exclusively benevolent or malevolent over the course of eons, having all been involved in experiencing different levels of consciousness, with their specific karmic burdens included. So in the universal consciousness, all species are considered as equals, regardless of their paths of evolution or the consequences of their actions on other life forms and on the collective consciousness. Chapter 32. Let's take the example of your human people. Can they be considered as a benevolent or a malevolent species for other forms of life on their planet? This question is hard to answer in your consciousness, at the light of the ongoing Anthropocene omnicide, exterminating other life forms at an alarming speed. Yet, this is only the actual outcome of your long evolution, which doesn't have to be its final outcome. Likewise, can any human individual be seen as entirely good or bad towards other living beings? Only some, a few rare ones of your spiritual masters have attained a level of pure consciousness and ascended to immortality, but only after a long spiritual evolution process of healing their own karmas. Some have joined the Star Elders' Council and live among them, watching over your collective soul. These elder souls maintain the dharmic process of helping younger souls, out of compassion and duty. Yet, there are still many, if not the majority of your people, who live in ways harmful to other beings, whether other life forms or from their own species, as well as to souls and beings from other dimensions. Could the human species be judged as a whole on the account of the acts and behaviors of a few individuals or groups, or over a single small part of their long history and evolution? In the same way, no species can be judged or categorized as a whole, based on a few criteria describing the general consciousness of their soul, or events and actions in their past evolution, as they include many souls. Interspecies relations, over the course of eons, are much too complex to be classified between black and white categories. They are made of a multitude of shades of gray. They involve a wide spectrum of life forms in an infinity of levels of consciousness, each with its individual destiny and soul evolution. They include interdimensional interactions with less evolved, as with more evolved souls and species. For the maintaining of the cosmic order and peaceful dharmic relations, all must be respected equally. Without this universal consciousness, any more evolved species could dominate less evolved ones. Take the example of your human people meeting an ant colony. They have developed their societies and ecosystems harmoniously for hundreds of millions of years, long before your people even existed. Yet, you consider them as inferior life forms which you can dispose of at will without consequences. You may ignore their presence when you develop your roads or housings, or consciously destroy them. With poisons or noisy polluting destructive machinery, you may eradicate their societies within hours. But you are unaware of their importance in the maintaining of ecosystems. They do work you can't do. If all more evolved species would treat younger ones this way, there would be no chance for evolution. And how evolved a species is relative and depends on each different perspective. Would the ancient ant societies consider your human species as being particularly evolved on the soul and spiritual level? Likewise, can the ants judge the human people and understand the reasons of their collective reality, levels of consciousness and karmic burden? For these reasons, in the universal consciousness of cosmic order, there is no judgment, prejudice, fear or hatred, when we refer to any existing species. Star and soul elders understand that every souls and species are experiencing their respective different levels of consciousness along their long-term process, and are an important part of the soul evolution. So even when we refer to some who are either less evolved, or more ancient, but have chosen ways against spiritual healing, which we oppose and even fight against, we always respect their souls and existence. knowing that the description of their story is not meant to condemn, but to understand, learn and grow to higher levels of spiritual consciousness. We can with this awareness continue the account. Chapter 33. Interspecies relations form the basis and the essential grounds for the evolution of the soul collective spiritual consciousness. They start on every planet, within every ecosystem and given environment. This is why higher levels of consciousness have helped develop biodiversity and abundance of life. Souls must incarnate in order to develop higher consciousness through a diversity of experiences and forms, allowing them to learn the spiritual understanding of existence. Therefore, biological life is required. Your science counts up to 8.5 million of different species on this home planet Earth, and this approximates around 10-15% of all earthly life forms. Transposing this beyond earthly proportions, we can barely comprehend the infinite possibilities of species and interspecies relations. Among intelligent species with spiritual consciousness that can achieve interstellar travel, the numbers drop significantly to a small fraction of all existing life forms. Yet, they are numerous beyond our limited knowledge. Considering that the longer a species has evolved, the greater the diversity of subspecies and hybrids that have sprouted from them is, so the larger the spectrum of interspecies relations they have experienced becomes. Adding to this, the length and duration of those interactions gives an even wider array of possible interspecies relations, with different evolutions and outcomes. To put this in your human perspective, imagine young children with their grandparents. Although the children's soul may be ancient, their experience of the actual human reality is learned from the elders. The children may be coming for a great mission and even to teach their people, but they first must learn from the experience of their elders, in order to adapt to their new incarnations and environments. On a broader scale, let's look through the perspective of my Sasquatch people. Who are your elders? One of us, who can live 10,000 years, has seen the birth, growth and downfall of all your cultures and civilizations that your recent memory can remember, from your much longer collective evolution. So just one of our elders can hold the amount of knowledge of a whole era of your species evolution. If you consider the accumulated knowledge and understanding from the lineages of our ancestors through ages, adding to the evolution of the greater soul of our species still present and strong in our collective consciousness, you can figure an idea of the average spiritual consciousness of a Sasquatch. This is why, as your elder brother who has never forsaken the cosmic order, we wish to educate you. Yet, as you know, my Sasquatch people is not the first, nor the most ancient form of intelligent life on this home planet, and even less your younger species. So the elders' species, no matter what path of evolution they have chosen, have lessons to teach us, either directly, or through the examples they left. They have taken ways and brought outcomes to teach us what would likely happen if we follow them. But can the children judge their grandparents for their life paths and decisions, and their experiences? Interspecies relations are not all peaceful, nor done with intentions of helping spiritual soul evolution. Karmic debts and loads are created along the process to be healed and resolved over time. Look at the short span of your history that you can remember, how it is made of wars and sufferings. Wars were not everywhere all the time, but there has never been much time without a war somewhere. Your grandparents and ancestors have done terrible crimes over the course of their evolution, but does this make the children guilty or bad? Hasn't there been a long-term evolution of your collective soul? Likewise, the elder species whom carry heavier karmic burdens are also in their evolution process. Chapter 34. Beyond the simple categories of species or hybrids, there are many collective karmic groups of souls. Within the single species like yours, there are races, lineages, ethnicities, cultures and various societies. Within these distinctive societies are several different ideological movements, interests and beliefs. It would be unsuited to summarize your entire species into a few general observations to define you. We cannot consider the whole human species as racist, cruel, criminals, slaverers, religious fanatics, cold-hearted killers or abusers, although many of them behave in those detrimental malevolent ways. We cannot even simplify a whole racial, cultural or religious group, as only benevolent or malevolent. The same principle applies to all species and hybrids, on this planet, as throughout all the omniverse. The life evolution process involves karmic failures as well as growth, made of struggles and conflicts. Not only your human history is made of wars, but that of most planets in their early phase of evolution. You are barely emerging from ages of tribalism, racism and religious integrism, into a greater collective human consciousness, understanding now that the skin color, beliefs and origins don't make the soul. It would be unfit for your young species to judge elders' species for the wars and karmas they carried. The star elders in the council are the ones who have kept collaborating into interspecies peaceful and spiritual relations, to maintain the cosmic order. Yet, some were disqualified and expulsed from it. Among them are the ones we refer to as the lower lords. They were star elders who had reached immortality, but decided to regress into egotistic consciousness to impose control and possess power. They are also known as Eliad, the cast-out gods, fallen angels, demon lords, devils and dark masters. Their high level of scientific and spiritual understanding provided them with immense psychic powers. They came from several star systems and a large variety of species, not being restrained to any species. Over the eons, they gathered one-third of all worlds under their control, including this planet Earth. The ones who came on Earth in the early phases of her development were from a rebellious group of over 200 planets that had been developed and colonized by reptoid species of Draconians. They are called Draconians, not only because of their sizes and appearances, but also for their origins based in a star system you know as Draco. Since they colonized and controlled many planets in several star systems, the species and powers under their control cannot all be called Draconians, hence the term Lower Lords we use. They evolved from reptoid genetics and kept using them to devise many hybrids. The term reptoid refers to reptile-like classes of animals, generally with scales or armored, that have developed from alien environments of distant planets. So they can't be called reptiles for this reason. When the reptoid lower lords, under the control of the Draconians, engineered hybrids on Earth from reptile genetics, they devised the class of hybrids known as reptilians, to bypass and control the lizard people, also reptilian hybrids, who were created by the star elders in a higher soul evolution process. At this point, you realize that the story of every species or hybrids is far more complex than it seems. Therefore, we can't generalize or judge any of them with our limited understanding of their vast reality. We can only try to understand their role and purpose in our collective spiritual evolution and healing. Every souls and entities are always offered the possibilities to change their ways, heal and evolve, as long as their consciousness doesn't regress into eternal lethargy, which is spiritual death. In the Star Council of Elders, we always work on solutions for cosmic healing of all souls, including opponents. Chapter 35: The War of Hybrids started on this home planet Earth long before your human people was conceived. Its first struggle was when the fish people were split between incarnated and interdimensional beings. Some remained in their interdimensional elementals forms and kept faithful to their spiritual mission, while the ones who chose the long process of reincarnation evolve much slower, longing for their soul. It then grew to a larger destructive scale when the ant people fought amongst themselves, between their polarized Borean and Austrian subspecies, bringing another mass extinction event, and destroying the biodiversity they had been helping to develop over many aeons. This was the first stage of the war. The War of Hybrids took a much wider aspect and a longer-term scale after the Lower Lords got involved into it. Afterwards, Since hundreds of millions of years, a large spectrum of hybrid species have been engineered and implanted on this home planet without intentions of spiritual soul evolution. The largest proportion of them is of insectoid or reptoid reptilian genetic origins and crossbreeds. Those hybrids wars have been waged until this day, and your people has been part of them, secretly in recent times, with or without your collective knowledge, as you are the latest youngest hybrid on Earth. For species who have evolved for hundreds of millions of years or longer, you are weak and ignorant. Some intelligent species going away from the cosmic order can take advantage of your limited soul. Species who have evolved into higher spiritual consciousness, like the Star Elders, watch over you. They send signs and guidance and speak to your soul, helping you to evolve into higher consciousness. You have noticed that we often refer to karma and dharma, two words from your most ancient surviving civilization expressing accurately the universal principles of cause to effects, and healing. Karma is the universal law which associates every cause to some effect, and every effect to some cause. It is not perceived as much in terms of good and evil, as in terms of beneficial and detrimental effects. Although some things can be qualified as good or as evil from short perspective, their long-term effects always finds its meaning and purpose in the greater evolution soul process of spiritual consciousness. Dharma is the conscious participation in the evolutionary process of consciousness and incarnations. Not all Star Elders in the Council have achieved immortality, but all are actively involved in karma healing and in the dharmic process of soul evolution, through interspecies peaceful, spiritual relations. So, many hybrid and alien species are represented in the Council, often only as groups of their species. There are even at times some representatives of the lower lords who are convocated for negotiations. They are always offered the possibility to realign with the cosmic order, or to face the longer-term consequences of their choices, decisions, actions and behaviors. When such negotiations fail, there are times when the Star Elders are forced to fight the lower lords to protect younger worlds and species. This is part of their spiritual mission and mandate as watchers of the planet's soul evolution process. Therefore, when the lower lords got involved in the wars of hybrids on this Earth, the situation escalated for many ages, forcing the Star Elders and their hybrid allies, like my Sasquatch people and later your first ancestors, in fighting off the invading powers trying to possess and control creation. This is part of the long history of our planet that has kept unfolding until this day and age of your birth. It is inscribed in your genetic and soul memory to be remembered and for its lessons to be learned. Chapter 36. With any account you hear of events you have not directly witnessed or experienced, you can never be sure of its accuracy and details. What you can be sure of is that every reality described is possible. The long past events that have not involved directly your species soul may be less relevant for you to know, but they can bring you a greater understanding, useful to your own soul's spiritual evolution. If you have listened to our message this far, you now understand that the evolution of intelligence and spiritual consciousness on this home planet Earth, as in the whole Omniverse, is far from being limited to the short history of your human people. You understand that the conception and creation of your people was part of a much longer soul evolution experiment process, stretched over countless eons. You also understand by now that peaceful, spiritual interspecies relations can only be conducted in a non-judgmental approach, with a universal consciousness perspective of the equality of every soul. You realize that all species and souls, regardless of their ways, play an important role in the equation. None can be defined with simplified general observations, all have known diverse complex realities. We can now enter into the description of the wars of hybrids that have transformed the evolution of this Earth and all life forms therein, including that of your human people and of my Sasquatch people. After the lower lords and the powers they control moved to the underworld, they started invading it. The war of hybrids for the control of the underworld raged for ages, involving countless hybrid types. But first, The ant people could keep their underground bases by protecting them with electromagnetic shields and weapons. Some of those radioactive and radiotronic frequencies were designed to affect and destroy only reptoid genetics, while leaving the insectoid hybrids untouched. The first phase of the war between the insectoid and reptoid hybrids was thus spent in engineering a wide variety of hybrids, mixing reptoid and insectoid genetics on both sides. They were used as genetic infiltrators and spies. After ages, the reptoid lower lords devised hybrids that could enter through the protective shields and crack their codes, allowing them to deactivate them and launch a series of attacks deep within the ant people's underground tunnels and domains, with intelligent drones spraying highly toxic insecticide gases. This chemical aggression, which the insectoids couldn't repulse, forced the ant people to retreat ever deeper into the hidden parts of the underworld. Many of their laying queens were exterminated, so they rescued all the ones they could, hiding them in those deepest caves and sealed their entrances. This massive insecticide aggression caused a major depopulation of the ant people and depleted their potential of natural reproduction. Since only a small proportion of their populations provides laying queens, these few individuals with reproductive abilities could lay millions of eggs in a single year. But the rest of the ant people consisted in sterile individuals, who were conceived for work and defense. The destruction of many of their bases and the genocide of their laying queens brought the advantage in the clan of the lower lords and their reptoid hybrids. As they were losing ground and regions in the underworld at a fast speed, with their populations and reproductive rate being considerably weakened, the ant people asked for the help of the Star Elders Council, seated in the intergalactic bases on Earth. But the Star Elders replied that they could not intervene in a war between enemy species over the conquest of a territory. They would not interfere in the war of hybrids in the underworld, but would keep watching over life and consciousness on the surface of Earth, and in the skies around and above. Chapter 37 Facing Extermination. The Ant People planned an escape to other environments. Since their anti-gravity flying silvery discs were propelled by electromagnetic energy, they could not approximate the speed of light and travel to faraway planets with this limited technology. They could only travel at 10 or 15 times the speed of sound, making interplanetary journeys still mostly inaccessible to them. To salvage their last laying queens, as their last resisting strongholds in the underworld were falling one by one under the control of the reptoids, they started building cities on and beneath the ocean floor. In this new environment, they were protected from the drones' attacks and chemical insecticide warfare. They developed those underwater cities independently from each other, without connecting tunnels, in order to avoid their invasion. Communication between their cities was kept through their flying fleet. This provided some safe refuges for the ant people during some time, until the next wave of attacks. This time, the lower lords sent nuclear-type missiles to bomb the underwater cities of the ant people. As the previous insecticide tactic, the nuclear strikes brought much destruction and death on Earth. Since their underwater refuges were being destroyed and their last surviving laying queens annihilated, the ant people had to retreat even further and planned a massive exodus and colonization on the moon. Their fleet of silvery disks started doing shuttle between their dying underwater and underground cities towards the Earth's natural satellite, in the largest migration of an hybrid species on this home planet. This new operation did not go unnoticed by the lower lords, who started chasing and shooting down the flying disks of the ant people, bringing the war of hybrids out of the underworld into the skies. This new turn, causing much destruction and death of the surface, forced the Star Elders to intervene. They could not allow that the war of hybrids destroyed the Earth's environments and solar evolution. The Star Elders engaged their star fleet in battle, containing the aggression of the lower lords, also known as Archons, allowing a safe escape to the moon for the majority of the remaining ant people. This first engagement in the War of the Star Elders established on Earth in their intergalactic outposts, marked a critical turning point in the unfolding of the cycles of events. The Ant People, and the Lower Lords or Archons, were convocated by the Star Elders Council to negotiate ceasefire, truce and peace, recognizing the conquest of the Archons and their reptoid hybrids over the underworld. It was ruled that they could reign over that domain, while the remaining ant people would be left to themselves on the moon and in the few surviving underwater and underground bases they still occupied.